you stole her lover?
What has that to do with anything? I took him because he pleased me. And since my own husband dallied with Mali when he'd tired of me, why should I not enjoy Serafa?
A fair question, which had me stumped. It was being borne in on me that the moral climate of Abyssinia was not quite that of our own polite society. Not that Ulaba's Belgravian sisters are averse to a cut off the joint from time to time, but they know enough to keep quiet about it. But I was still well in the dark. You say she's your old playmate, bosom pal, God knows what, yet she harangues you like a fishwife in public, calls you a heartless whore, and you box her ears.
We have been calling each other that and worse since we were 10 years old, and rivals for the same schoolboy, cries she, laughing. Not that I could ever rival Mali. Is she not lovely?
You seem to have found her so from what she tells me, she added with a sniff in her voice. The little slut could hardly keep her eyes open.
Well, now you know what you missed, says I, sending me a proxy doxy in your own dress to fool me in the dark. Is that some kind of Abyssinian insult?
First a punishment, now an insult, cries she gleefully.
No, effendi, merely a whim. A little trick, a jest to remind the great Farangi soldier that the wild barbarian women will do what she will do in her own good time, not his.
The carved lips were pouting impudently, and suddenly laughing before I could deal with them.
But if you will soothe your manly pride, know that I sent Mali to you at her own request.
No, truly.
When she had cried out her tantrum, and implored my forgiveness, as she always does, she begged me.
Why?
Because she believes that you are man you fancy, and whatever I have, why, Mali must have too. And she's a lecherous strumpet, as you have no doubt discovered, with the appetite of a rotting baboon. So I indulge her.
She arched her brows, playful-like.
Am I not a kind mistress to my bondwoman?
Perhaps too kind, Sultana. No, I ain't complaining, but I'll tell you something about slaves. However devoted and loving and like bloody spaniels they seem, they never forgive their owners for owning them. They don't either, though what prompted me to say it just then I don't know, unless I was just mentally marking time while debating whether to kiss her before I wrenched off that scanty tunic or after. But I debated too long, and she was off with a laughing dismissal of my caution and down the ladder stair before I could get to work. I spent the day imagining Kazim Tamwar, which is the key to disguise. You must catch the man if you're to impersonate him faithfully, as I'd learned to do in the past with Crown Prince Karl Gustav, dignified royal duffer, and Makarim Khan, truculent Pathan ruffian, and my military self, bluff, mutton-headed hero, to name but a few. I decided Kazim would be a bit of a languid exquisite, and carefully shaved my splendid moustache to a mere line along the upper lip, got rid of my whiskers, and spent time oiling and curling myself a lovelock with a hot iron, frontier style rather than Hyderabadi, but no one in Abyssinia would know the difference. I'd grow a little imperial, too, and remember to point my toes as I walked, which ain't difficult for a cavalryman. Finally, I boned a length of silk off my room dragon to improvise a tight turban, and, having spruced up my boots, pyjamas, and sash, stood forth for Ulaba's inspection. "Ho-ho!" she says, mighty droll.
"Is it the Indian horse trader, or the prince of the Seven Sea Coast? My ladies must see this wonder, and Mali too."
"Half a tick," says I. "They know me as Kazim Tamwar, but what tale are you telling them to explain our going south together?"
"What is to explain if I make a pleasure journey to the Sea of Tana with a handsome stranger? Let their imaginations work."
Which they did, judging by their slantendicular looks and the smirks of the booby sporters. But Mali wasn't to be seen. Fagged out, no doubt. In the evening, Ulaba took me to a little room off the stables where we packed our bags for the trip. Spare clobber of shammas and boots and waterproof cloaks, blankets and utensils, biltong and bread and teff cakes, flasks of meze and tej, cheese and dried fruit and locust balls, God help me. We split my $200 between us, at my suggestion, since she'd have to do the buying of necessities along the way, and in addition to my jocelyn and cartridge belt, I had a dagger and sword from the citadel's armoury. Not one of their sickle blades, but a straight cross.